Indayaradhamadhava Punyavihare Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varada Yasodhanandana Brajajana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Jari Yamuna Tiravana Jari Hidaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Hidaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chela Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Gopi Vallabha Gopi Vallabha Gopi Vallabha Radhe Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paramara Jagacharya Astata Satasi Simate Stivayangre Silabe Saranaravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada ki jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda ki jai Iskon founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Gashtiya Staya Bhagavad Smanvaya Vanta Samantha Vyasa Samyadiya Sadaya Vyasa. Can you please give me the verse book? So Hare Krishna, we start this morning with series of lectures called Seeing Krishna Behind Everything, And we will take a few verses from, relevant verses from Shastra. Today we will start with a verse which Srila Prabhupada has described to be the guide of all devotees. You will see as the verse unfolds and your understanding grows of the verse that you will experience a lot of personal guidance in your spiritual lives from this text. Let me just make a little adjustment here with this beautiful microphone.
It would be ideal, actually.
Yes.
Very good.
Can you all see nicely? Not everyone can see nicely. What will we do? The room is very long. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Tate
nukampam.
Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kitam Vipakam Ritvat Vapurbhya Vidadan Namaste Jivita Yo Muktipade Sadaya Bha Tatenukampam Susamikshamano
Tatenukampam Susamikshamano
Bunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam
Bunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam
Ritvakvapurbir Vidadan Namaste Jivetayo Muktipade Sadaya Bhag
Jivetayo Muktipade Sadaya Bhag
Tatenukampam Susamikshamano
Tatenukampam Susamikshamano
Munjana Evatmakritam Vipakam Ritvakvapurbhya Vidadan Namaste
Ritvakvapurbhya Vidadan Namaste
Jivetayo Muktipade Sadaya Bhag
Jivetayo Muktipade Sadaya Bhag
Tatenukampam Susumikshamano
Tatenukampam
Bunjana evatmakritam vipakam
Bunjana evatmakritam vipakam
Ritvakvapurbhya vidadan namaste
Ritvakvapurbhya vidadan namaste
Jivet Nityo Muktipade Sadaya Bhav.
Nityo Muktipade Sadaya Bhav.
Yes, please. Please. Therefore, te your anukampam, compassion, susamikshamana, earnestly hoping for munjanaha, enduring eva, certainly Atma Kritam, done by himself, Vipakam, the fruitive results, Rit, with his heart, Va, words, Vapurvihi, and body, Vidadan, offering. Namaha, obeisances, te, unto you,
jivita,
lives, yaha, anyone who,
muktipade,
to the position of liberation,
saha,
he, dayaba,
the rightful heir.
Yes. Now I will read to you a translation which Srila Prabhupada has given in the Nectar of Devotee and Devotion. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities.
If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is Dayabhag. Dayabhag refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Please stay with me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskacare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ayama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes. Let us again read the verse. In My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this verse appears as one point of the 64 angas of devotional service. What are 64 angas of devotional service? I think you are all Bhakti Shastri students, some of you. Yes? The 64 angas of devotional service are limbs, you can say, or specific activities in which we express our devotion for Krishna. For instance, to dance before the deities is an anga of devotion service, or to clap in the hands, to chant the holy names, to offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas, and so on, to accept the spiritual master, to bow down to the banyan tree, to worship Mother Cow. All these activities are given by Rupa Goswami so that we can express our devotion for Lord Krishna. Now, this here, this present verse, is quoted in one particular content expecting the Lord's mercy. If you wish to make advancement in your spiritual life, you must expect the Lord's mercy. This is how you go about with your devotional life. Let us just see what the 64 angas do. They take things that are of this world and offer these things to Krishna. Thereby, the devotion is expressed and spiritual advancement is at hand. I want to give you an example. Let us look at something which is very dear to devotees in the in our movement, the prasadam. Here we take something which is of this world, potatoes, grains, milk, and so on, and offer it to their lordships, Shri Shri Radha, Gopi Vallabha, and by this offering, the worldly food becomes transformed into spiritual food. Food which is not only for the body, but which is also food for the soul. So everything in this world is like this in devotional service. We take things of this world, our body for instance, and use it in relationship to Krishna in devotional service, and thereby spiritualize it. This is the general principle of bhakti, or the general principle of devotional service. Prabhupada once spoke about his typewriter. He says, even a typewriter can become spiritual by becoming engaged in Krishna. Because of the spiritual contact, it stops to be matter. Just like I may put my spectacles into the electrical faucet, and by the contact with the electrical energy, it becomes electrical. So this is what one of the main principles of transformation in devotional service is: bringing apparently material things into contact with the Lord spiritualizes them. The principle here is we want to establish a relationship with Krishna, and by using the things of this world. This will bring us to a state of spiritual life where we always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now this particular verse, which we are studying at the moment, looks at suffering. Suffering is also a thing of this world. It comes when we are old, like Mahaprabhu is feeling some suffering in the body. I noticed how you got up, you didn't walk as jubilantly as you walked when you were young. Suffering also comes by other living entities who get on our nerves, like mosquitoes. Suffering comes due to the body and the mind. I notice some of you suffer from tiredness this morning. Suffering also comes by circumstances which are really beyond us, like the weather and so on, which begins to influence us. Here, suffering in this verse is dealt with in a very, very specific way. The way is that you also bring your suffering in contact with Krishna. And by bringing your suffering, which is a material thing, a total material experience, in contact with Krishna, you transcend the suffering and make it as something which is very useful for your spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna. Do you understand the principle? It's a very, very far out principle. So let us now look at the elements of this verse, which was spoken by Lord Brahma after he made a terrible mistake. Do you remember Brahma's mistake?
He stole the cows from Krishna, the cowboys and the cows.
Yeah. He thought Krishna is an ordinary person. Jiva Goswami describes how Brahma was coming with his swan carrier to Vrindavan. Fly, fly, fly. He had just heard that there was a great commotion on the earth because Krishna had just killed the snake demon Agasura. And all those who were present there saw how from the dead Agasura snake a light came, which was nothing than the soul. It shot out, whoosh, hovered above the ground, and then merged in Krishna's transcendental body. Wonderful, isn't it? Krishna had absorbed, so to say, Agasura in his Brahmajyoti effulgence. And of course the demigods were very happy about this. So they made a big noise. Brahma on his planet heard this, and he heard that Krishna was celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the demigods. So he decided to visit Krishna. And when he was just coming with his swan carrier over Vrindavan, he saw how Krishna was enjoying a picnic. And he saw also how Krishna leaned over, diverted the attention of the other cowherd boy next to him by saying, "Oh, look there in the river Yamuna, an extraordinary creature is there." The cowherd boy looked, and Krishna immediately took the opportunity to take some of his sweets and ate it. Now this is extremely muchi, to take some from someone's plate where he has eaten is quite muchi. I have seen this for the first time with a young Grihastha couple in the Hare Krishna movement, how they ate from the same plate as an affection, as a sign of their sympathy for each other. And I was shocked, but later I was informed that this is normal in the Grihastha ashram. So Brahma, when he saw how the Lord, who's supposed to be the authority of Vedic rules and regulations, ate from another person's plate, was totally disappointed. He thought, this cannot be a brahminically minded person. He's an ordinary cowherd boy. And this gave him the reason to see, I will test him. Jiva Goswami describes this in the Bhakti Sandavas, that this was Brahma's thinking. I think we can understand him. Isn't it? Mahaprabhu, it's not so difficult to understand his logic. He is, after all, the master of our sampradaya. So he thought, this is just too much. And he then started to do his terrible mistake. He challenged Krishna, actually, in a contest by using his mystical potency to abduct or kidnap the friends of Lord Krishna. Anyways, we all know Krishna then expanded into as many cowherd boys as were kidnapped. He expanded into the identical forms. They even smiled, the expanded cowherd boys smiled like Krishna. Their voice inflection was just like the the original boys, and in this way Brahma was defeated in his mystical potency. So after he had done this mistake, and Krishna had corrected him by showing him that indeed he had expanded in all these forms, Brahma prayed this prayer: "My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim." So let us look now at the element of the verse. There are four elements in this verse, which, again, I must point out, should be the guideline of a devotee living in this world. The first element is you should hope for Krishna's mercy in all earnestness. Today we start our day, we have chanted our rounds. Let us expect Lord Krishna's mercy to fall upon us, to enliven our hearts with ecstatic Krishna consciousness. Huh? The second element is you should accept responsibility for what happens to you. You should know your sufferings are only reactions to what you have done yourself. Now, this is a very new concept in the Hare Krishna movement, because we usually find fault with others when we suffer. Oh, I'm suffering because of the impossible ISKCON society who makes me suffer. Or I'm suffering because others woke me too early in the morning. Or I'm suffering because of we always, as human beings, find others, either external circumstances, for being responsible for our own suffering. But here, the concept is that you are responsible. You should take responsibility. I want to give you an example of what it means to take responsibility. It is an example which will totally shock you, but this is intended because I wish to have your full cooperation intellectually in this lecture. When a person goes to the restroom and produces the human pile, there is no point in him to point at the human pile. Why do you smell so aggressively? He has produced it. He has eaten. He has digested it. And the resultant action is now not exactly fragrant human pile which he has produced. It is aggressively fragrant, not sweetly fragrant. So anything which we experience in this world is created like that by us. Whatever you is your experience in this life has been created by your own activities. And the moment you actually take responsibility for the things which happen in your life, that moment you can learn from what has happened to you. If you do not take responsibility for what has happened in your life, but you point at others, you will never actually be able to learn in the school of karma. I'm saying it's the school of karma because we are meant to learn by experiencing certain reactions that some activities which we have performed are less than desirable because they bring bad reactions, and others are good to perform because these reactions or these activities bring good reactions. Do you understand the expression karmic school? Now, if you always think that the cause of your happiness is and the cause of your sufferings is outside of you. You can never learn. Is the logic obvious? Mm-hmm. You can never learn. A person who is growing in his spiritual life will accept responsibility for whatever happens to him, and he will know, yes, I have caused it. The next element which we study in this verse is that even though one suffers, one should offer obeisances with heart, that is the mind, with the words, and with the body. This means with your mind you should think of Lord Krishna, with your words you should praise Krishna, and with your body you should either perform obeisances or active devotional service. The verse then gives a result, a fruit. It says the result of someone who practices these three kinds of behavior in this world is that he becomes qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. So, while in this world a devotee earnestly hopes for Krishna's mercy, accepts the responsibility for the suffering which comes upon him, and continues to offer obeisances with mind, words, and body. This is what Prabhupada describes a guideline of all devotees. We should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of our own past misdeeds. So when some suffering comes to our way, then it says one should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. Wonderful, isn't it? In our little lecture series, which I'm giving only the preview today, we shall discuss why Krishna puts his dear devotees through sufferings. We will look at some examples from Shastras of devotees who learned by the sufferings. We will look at different attitudes to suffering, and finally we will understand how Krishna deals with his loving devotees. Tomorrow we will discuss why Krishna puts his dear devotees through sufferings. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions regarding this verse and what you have heard today? Premananda?
Thank you, Maharaj. It seems that your presentation today is a nice compliment to your presentation on Wednesday evening. You're talking about becoming empowered in one's spiritual life. And one of the elements, in addition to those five primary yogas of bhakti that Goswami discusses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is taking responsibility for our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That seems also a way by which we can become empowered to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Premananda Prabhu says, I will repeat the question for the tape hearing posterity, that it seems to be one of the angas of devotional service to accept responsibility for our own suffering, and it seems by this we can grow. Can you comment on this? I will tell you a little story from the Mahabharata in which a devotee took responsibility for great suffering and grew very much. It was an old woman who had only one son. One day the son was carried to her. He was dead. Yes, he had gone to the forest and a snake had bitten him and he died instantaneously. And now the people of the village carried him to this old woman. I believe you can all understand. The woman was extremely sad. It was her only son. But she was a great devotee, knowing of this verse. She was wailing and crying, and after some time, Arjunaka, the hunter, came. He had a net, and in this net was a living snake, winding and trying to escape. "Here," said Arjunaka, and threw the snake at the feet, "is the cruel murderer of your son. Take this knife and take revenge, because by this your pain will go. Torture the snake and kill it." The old woman looked, said, "I'm not sure that the snake is the cause of the death of my son." At this moment the snake began to say, "I'm not the cause of the death of the son." "It's correct." So Arjunaka, the hunter, he was not so subtle, interrupted the snake. "Shut up! Of course you are the cause of the death." I don't know," said the old woman. "And maybe death is the cause of the death of my son. Let's call him." So they called death. Death was standing before. It was quite a vision. He looked dark, with eyes like red copper balls. And yes, the old woman asked him, "Are you the cause of the death of my son? "No," said death, "I'm not. Very often I stood near, but because it was not yet the time of the person to die, I couldn't do anything. Have you seen death in your life standing near to you?" "I've seen him about, I would say, 20 times, very, very close, when I was hanging over some cliff in the Himalaya and just almost falling down, or when in a car accident, our car flew from a bridge into a river. I saw him very, very often smiling at me and disappearing again, because it was not yet my time." So death said, "Yes, I think time is the cause of the death of everyone." At this moment, the old woman desired to ask time and ask, "Time, please come, I have an important question." And Kala came. Kala looked like a chakra. And the old woman was asking him, "Are you the cause of the death of my son?" "No," said time. "I also do not do anything unless it's the karma of someone." So the old woman was satisfied with this. "Yes, it was the karma of my son to die. He was torturing animals always. Therefore, an animal had to torture him." The old woman took the knife, cut the net of Arjunaka, and allowed the snake to escape. before Ajunakash could do anything. So she grew by understanding that the suffering of the which she experienced due to the death of her son was caused not by herself in this case, but by the son himself. No one was responsible but the son. No? And I want to encourage all of you, when you suffer sometimes, you can spiritually grow by understanding that you have something to do with this. I have a personal experience with this, and it was in one of the years where we were at the Mayapur festival, and we had to attend a committee, it's called 50-man committee, where we evaluated different devotees. And afterwards, I had a terrible headache. And I thought it's because all these difficult subjects were discussed. I had this headache. Came back to Germany and became more and more sick until I had to go to the hospital. The hospital people investigated me but couldn't find out what was wrong. Every day, more and more headaches came until I could not move on my own to the bathroom. I thought my head was exploding from pain. Then one night, I was already sleepless for 3 days because of this excruciating headache. One night, it dawned on me, you have done something wrong, Sachinandan. You have to improve your life. There is something which you really must learn from this disease. You have created it. And I understood by sincerely asking Lord Krishna what I did wrong, what I had to improve. I sincerely understood it. And the moment I understood it, I remember it was in that night. The next morning, the nurse came in, a wonderful, kind-hearted nurse. Mrs. So-and-so, we know what's wrong with you. You have typhus. Wonderful, she said, because now we know how to treat you. We didn't know what was wrong. Take this monster pill. And she gave me a pill which looked like the incarnation of the pharmaceutical business. a huge monster pill, like an egg almost, so big. She said, after 4 hours, your headaches will go down, the symptoms will go down, and we will drive out the typhoid from your body. No problem. Now we can cure it. I swallowed this monster pill, but even before the effect of the monster pill, I noted how the headache was going, because I had learned my lesson. There was a very particular thing which I had done wrong, and I sincerely repented it and changed my ways. And then it was no longer important to give me that lesson, that karmic reaction. This is the mystical way of curing diseases, to understand why we have contracted them because of our own wrongdoings. Then the diseases will usually go away because the lesson is fulfilled. This is how you can mature. I think you were asking a question, or no, I made a mistake. Yes, another question. Prabhu. Wonderful.
Actually, I have two questions. First one, this always comes up all the time, is that although I guess we're reading from Nectar Devotion, Sri Prabhupada says that his place Shagni doesn't imply that it's just instant presto that you suddenly become relieved, and you will experience some suffering, and when you do, consider as your own karma. We've also been taught that when we get initiated and we put the banana in the fire, and that it's not actually karma, it's like the fan spinning, but it's the karmic connection has already been severed and it's something different, but perhaps for all intents and purposes we should, out of our own humility, we should accept it as if it were our karma. That's one issue. And the other thing is, I guess you just, they say curiosity kills the cat, but you, maybe it's too personal, but maybe in a very general way, if you could say what you...
It's wrong.
We don't think you could have done anything wrong, but...
It had to do with false ego. Prabhupada asked about what I did wrong, and then he raises the question, is it really karma which a devotee experiences, or is it something else? So the first is a brief answer. It had to do with my false ego, where I was hurting devotees. The second question is it really karma? Srila Prabhupada, very interesting that you asked this question, because that's really the subject of tomorrow's lecture series. Here I will give a brief answer. It's not the same reaction which you would have gotten if you would not have been in spiritual life. It's a token reaction. This is how Prabhupada defines it. A token is for those of you who are like me, not so conversant in the sweet English language. A token is like a present, a gift. Now, Krishna gives you your karmic reactions in a way, you know, nicely packaged like a gift, and reduced so that you can handle them. But still, it is something like it is produced by your own activities. How this is so, and it will be very interesting and philosophically fascinating, we will deal with tomorrow in detail. At this moment I cannot give my secrets away, because then you will not come to the lecture tomorrow, in this way I will suffer greatly to not have your association. Your good name?
Raj.
Raj. The fourth element is the result of following such the guidelines, that is, you become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. We speak about the four elements of this verse. The first was earnestly hoping for Krishna's mercy. Oh, if you can just turn to Krishna when the life is a little intense, or you feel you have something to learn, you will instantaneously become enthusiastic and happy. Instantaneously. The second is offering obeisances with heart, words and body. And the third, the second is accepting responsibility for our suffering. And the third is continuing to be a glorious devotee by offering body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So then the result, Raj, is that you become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. The verse says, moksha pade, liberation is waiting for you. But this liberation in our Vaishnav practice is not just impersonal liberation, but it is our liberation from the world will mean that we are allowed to enter the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji, your good name, please.
My name is Bhakta Kiyo.
Kiyo?
Kiyo.
Wonderful.
a very interesting name. Yes. Bhaktaki O.
In the story, the cause of son's death was son's own misdeed. But the fact that his mother suffered seems to indicate that her own suffering has something to do with her own misdeed, right? And then,
mm-hmm.
So it seems like maybe the mother's misdeed, in other words, mother's karma, maybe has something to do with her son's death.
Okay.
Is it correct?
Mm-hmm. Bhakta Kiyo, wonderful name, short and unique. Bhakta Kiyo's question is, it seems that there must be also some karma on the side of the mother, so that she lost her son. See, we all meet in this world, and we separate from each other according to karmic situations. Yes, there is certainly some reason why a mother loses her son before it's her time. We understand, for instance, from Srimad Bhagavatam that once the king Chitraketu lost his own son and suffered greatly, and the reason which was given why he had to experience this is from this son, is the son was his enemy in the past life and came back to give him trouble in this life. Sometimes these karmic relationships carry on and we suffer.
So maybe my question is that the cause of death of the son is not only son's karma but maybe mother's karma involved.
No. The son's death is purely the son's karma, but the mother had some karma so that she got a son who would die prematurely. See, her suffering was caused by her own karma, but the son's suffering to die a premature death was caused by his karma. So by the super soul, these two people were brought together. The mother needed a son who died early, and the son needed a snake bite. So there were two compatible karmas and they were put together by the direction of the super soul. This is a general principle which is always there. Moment you have this mature vision, the suffering will retreat, actually. If you can see things on a spiritual level, suffering will retreat. Yes, it's the same discussion. Mm-hmm. Same idea. So I will now look towards our Matajis, because it's, you really have to have a 180 degree head. Do our Matajis have some questions?
not at this moment. Okay, then I would suggest let us happily end this class. Please come tomorrow and you will see some wonderful subject matters being developed, and you will become happy in your Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Rama.